Now, London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK, London's premier forum for news, views, and up-to-date information. Here's Andy Udman.
A growing body of science indicates that fluoridation is neither safe nor effective. In this video, we examine why over 2,000 health, scientific, medical, dental, and environmental professionals are calling for an end to fluoridation worldwide.
If you want to prevent sunburn, you don't drink suntan lotion, you put it on your skin. And so if you want to have the benefits of fluoride in oral health, what you do is put it on the surface of the tooth and not drink it.
Most European countries do not fluoridate. Austria, Belgium, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Iceland, Italy, Greece, Portugal. The overwhelming number of countries in the world do not fluoridate, and guess what? Their teeth are just as good, if not better, than ours.
I don't know if you heard the roundtable just before 9 o'clock this morning, but I suggested that I don't think most people know, and I certainly didn't think of it this way, that at our water treatment plants, they pour into the water that you drank this morning when you made your coffee. They pour into that water jugs of chemicals from containers which have the skull and crossbones on them. In other words, they're pouring poison into our water, and have been for over 50 years, and have been in cities all across North America and beyond. That poison is called, it has a nice name, you will like the name because you think that chemical is wonderful, and that chemical is fluoride. Same chemical they put in your toothpaste. But what is the total sum effect of toothpaste on our health? That's the issue this morning in what we're calling the case against fluoride. We have a speaker coming to London in just a few weeks we want to tell you about. He's the author of a book. We don't want to rely just on opinion. We want to rely on the research. What does science say? Here's a key question this morning. Why are there 2,000 experts on this subject who have now banded together around the world? You can check out the video for yourself on the internet, who are saying fluoride is poison and we shouldn't be putting it in our drinking water, as we do every day here in London, Ontario. I'm shocked by it. I've spent the last two or three days just contemplating this subject. You may have heard Pam Colleen join me earlier in the week for a discussion of a few health issues, and then afterward we went for a coffee and we talked about some of the more pressing health concerns, and then we talked about this discussion they're having out in Calgary. And when I really started to look at the research and listen to the screaming voices out there saying, why are you people doing this? I just felt absolutely compelled to have Pam back and a number of experts we're going to talk about this hour. But I want to ask you, before we talk to Denise, before we talk to some of the experts, and we have someone who will be joining us later in the hour from Calgary, I just want to ask someone like you, Betty, one of our callers, your thoughts about fluoride and what you're hearing now about why cities like Waterloo, Ontario, are saying, are we nuts? Why are we putting this stuff in our drinking water?
A comment. I'm in my 80s. And 40, 45 years ago, on CFRB in Toronto, Gordon Sinclair had a what was called Let's Be Personal at 10 to 12 every day. That long ago, he was on a tirade about fluoride. He called it rat poison. So good luck with your endeavors, because that information has been, via Gordon Sinclair, has been out there for 45 years.
But we've been ignoring it, Betty.
That's why I'm saying good luck with your endeavors.
Do you know what, Betty? You know what's changed since Gordon Sinclair? He was one loudmouth, obnoxious, and very popular radio broadcaster, the likes of which we need more of. What we didn't have in those days is the opportunity for people to do the research themselves. And they have that now, thanks to what in research circles is a godsend called the Internet. Betty, I'm delighted that you've called, and what a way to kick off the hour. Betty, you listen in, and you will see we're going to rock the boat over the next hour.
Well, good luck with it, because it really is poison. And this is a so-called democracy, so hopefully this time the people will be heard.
Betty, we are going to get rid of the fluoride in the water in London. I promise you that. Write that down on a little pad on your kitchen table. It'll be sooner, it'll be later, but if we have our way, it'll be sooner.
Well, okay, as I started out saying, good luck.
Thanks, Betty. Love that call. Okay, let's go to Reg. Reg, your thoughts this morning?
Well, good morning, Andy. For the last several years, I've been reading about the evils of fluoride. I guess one of my questions are, all these water filtration systems, do they help or not?
I'm going to bounce that one right over to Pam Colleen. Pam?
It's very limited, actually, in terms of whether or not it depends on the system you're talking about, but it is really difficult to get rid of fluoride out of filtration systems in general. It really depends on the filtration system you're looking at.
I know, Pam, I talked to someone just yesterday about this very issue, that people who are selling these water filtration devices and so on, they come on strong about fluoride.
Mm-hmm.
The question, and rightly so, the question is whether their system gets rid of it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think, reverse osmosis and distilled systems will get rid of it, but it's really the more popular ones, like the charcoal filters, will not get rid of fluoride.
Reg, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. One more thing, Andy.
Sure.
With all the information out there today, why are our governments not doing something about it? They got their heads buried in the ocean.
Yeah, well, you have a very good point there. Let's go to Catherine. Catherine, go ahead.
Hello, yes. I wanted to say that I've been opposed to fluoride since 1978. I've been drinking distilled water. I'm on my second distiller now. And I drink it, I cook with it, I do not bathe with it or shower with it, that would be just cost prohibitive for me, but I have been drinking it, raised my son on distilled water, our bones are fine, our teeth did not fall out, and I just can't say enough. I've tried reverse osmosis water, I'm not fond of the taste, but it would have to be a second choice if I moved to an apartment, because probably there wouldn't be the set up to hook up my water distiller, but
Catherine, give me 5 seconds. How do you feel about fluoride in our water?
I don't even use fluoridated toothpaste. I have not used fluoridated toothpaste since 1978. I had to get my toothpaste from California.
Catherine, listen to this. I'm going to ask Pam Colleen to describe what they do in daycare centers, some daycare centers in London, when it comes to fluoridated toothpaste.
Yeah, right now, apparently, I've just heard from a friend of mine whose daughter was just in daycare, and the parents have been warned not to bring fluoridated toothpaste into daycare. And of course, as we know, a lot of children's toothpaste that do have fluoride in them, are cherry flavored or what have you. So they're more like a candy than they are a toothpaste. And on fluoridated toothpaste labels, of course, there is a very clear warning not to ingest it.
Oh.
What does that tell you right there? It's poison.
Right, it is poison.
Wow. Catherine, thank you for the call. We've got to move along quickly because everybody wants to weigh in. Leah, go ahead.
Yes. Is there not a cost to put the chemicals in the water?
There is. In fact, in large cities, it's close to $1 million a year.
Okay, so shouldn't we bring this up to the city council and the mayor and say, hey, this is a good way to save some money?
Leah, God bless you. Just stick right by your radio, because the next button I'm going to push is a city councilor, Denise Brown, my new city councilor in Ward 11. Denise, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Do you hear the revolution coming?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been doing a lot of research on this topic myself now. And, of course, I'm not a scientists or anything, so I've got to rely a lot on the internet. But Betty was right on, because fluoride's been a key component in rat poison since the 1800s. So, and we're putting this in our drinking water.
Denise, we have to take a short break, but I'm asking you in the next 30 seconds to summarize, number one, your feelings about fluoride in the water, confirm that we pour this poison into our water in London every day, and number three, that you, Denise Brown, are going to go on the record as saying you're going to put a stop to it.
Okay, I definitely will be. That's definitely what I want to do. I want to stop it because, if somebody ingests too much fluoride, they have to call the National Poison Control Center. It's poison. We need to get rid of it.
Wow. And Denise Brown is a city councilor. She's a new city councilor. She's passionate about her work. And, folks, we have started a revolution. Pam, how long? Let's look at it. How long do we get rid of fluoride in the water in London, Ontario?
You know, it's really hard to tell. We had Dr. Paul Connett here 2 years ago where he spoke at South Secondary School. I emceed that event as well. And over the last 2 years, little to nothing has really been done at City Hall to, you know, even question the addition of fluoride in our water. I mean, at a minimum, I would have thought it would have catapulted people into questioning fluoride. But there's been a silence, you know, over the last 2 years, and we're hoping Dr. Connett its next visit will indeed propel them to do something more about this.
Now, just to clarify before we go to the break, you're not saying that fluoride doesn't help preserve your teeth.
Actually, the research shows that ingesting fluoride does nothing for dental health. This is what Dr. Connett will cover on March the 2nd when he comes to London. There is some evidence to show that if you use fluoride on the surface of the teeth, that it can help with cavities. And, of course, if you look at our use of fluoride over the last 50 years or so, we've been using toothpaste and we've been ingesting it in our city water supplies. So you'd have to question what has really been reducing cavities or helping with cavities at all. Has it been the brushing of the teeth with fluoridated toothpaste or ingesting it in the water? And the research doesn't indicate that ingesting it helps.
Okay, we're going to go to the break. I'm going to ask our producer, if I can get his attention here, our producer to play the second audio clip. We want to leave this with you as we go into the break and then ask you to respond to it. The difference between ingesting it, drinking water with fluoride in it, or having fluoride in your toothpaste. So we'll see you on the other side of the break after we play you this clip.
Water fluoridation is the practice of adding fluoride compounds to the public water supplies for the purpose of reducing tooth decay. The policy, which began in the United States in the 1940s, has been hailed by the Oral Health Division of the United States Centers for Disease Control as one of the top 10 public health achievements of the 20th century.
The quality of evidence for topical fluoride is in a different league from the evidence on water fluoridation. I mean, absolutely no question about that.
Adding fluoride to toothpaste, you are going to ingest some of it, and that needs to be taken seriously. But it's not made to be ingested, and it's made to be rubbed onto the surface of the tooth, which is where you're supposed to have it. It's a much smarter way to go about using fluoride in dentistry.
It's widely accepted that the topical application of fluoride to the surface of teeth is beneficial.
This is London Today with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK. The number to call is 519-643-1290.
If you want to prevent sunburn, you don't drink suntan lotion. You put it on your skin. And so if you want to have the benefits of fluoride and oral health, what you do is put it on the surface of the tooth and not drinking.
We are making the case against fluoride this morning because a string of cities across Canada have or are about to ban fluoride from their water. The city of Calgary now having a raging debate. We'll be talking to an expert from Calgary after the news break at the bottom of the hour. But I want to go back to our city councillor on the line, Denise Brown, in just a moment to hear from her the very strong stand that she is taking on this issue. Chris, you want to jump in on this?
Yes, sir. I just want to make a few comments. First of all, most people don't realize that fluoride actually is more toxic than lead and slightly less toxic than arsenic.
Wait a minute. That's a very explosive thing you've just suggested. Fluoride is more toxic than lead?
Yes. And you can look it up in any toxicity manual. And it's just slightly less than arsenic. So that's one thing. Second thing, the substance they use for fluoridating our water is called hydrosilic fluoric acid. As some people know, it's a waste product from the fertilizer and the aluminum industry. And basically, what it's used in the industry as well for as a creation agent. So what it does is when it goes through our water systems, it actually leaches out the lead in the pipe into our water or from the pipe.
What are you saying in a nutshell, Chris? You're saying it's poison and we shouldn't be putting it in our water.
Absolutely not, yeah.
Wow.
And the argument they often make is it's so little and all this stuff. Well, the thing is kidney dialysis machines cannot use city water. They have to distill it or reverse osmosis. So the argument about saying it's only used in small quantities is all hogwash.
Chris, you've made some very good points, and I thank you for your call. Let's go to Henry. Henry, your thoughts this morning on fluoride in the water now, given that it is, in fact, hazardous waste.
Well, Andy, again, yeah, I think I'm calling in. I'm not on one side of the issue or the other side of the issue. The thing is I think you have to be careful about where the information that you're hearing is coming from.
How about from 2,000 researchers, dentists, professors, and authors around the world now banding together?
Well, I'm not surprised that the dentists are in there. I'm going to give you a small story. We're in the country. We're on a well. My wife and I, we grew up in the city, and we grew up with practically no cavities. I think I have two. My wife has one. Our kids, when we moved out into the country and we're on a well system, we have to take fluoride supplements to help protect them against their against the cavities. And I firsthand, I can tell you, our oldest daughter has quite a few cavities. And the dentists were saying, you've got to start to take fluoride supplements because to protect your teeth.
Okay, hang on, hold that thought. I'm going to get Pam to respond to that. Go ahead, Pam.
Well, part of my introduction to our evening with Dr. Connett, I'll be outlining the real cause and prevention of tooth decay, what's really causing this phenomenon to occur in the first place. And what I do is I go through the work of a Canadian dentist by the name of Dr. Weston A. Price, and he wrote a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. And what happened with Dr. Price was in the 1920s, he started to notice cavities in children's teeth. He started noticing the narrowing of the jaw. He started noticing crooked teeth. And this was unheard of before. I mean, he was treating these children's parents, and he hadn't seen this in the parents. So he started asking questions about nutrition and dental health. And so what he did was he traveled all around the world studying primitive cultures. And in primitive cultures where they didn't floss their teeth, they didn't brush their teeth, they didn't use, they didn't medicate their waters with fluoride, these primitive cultures had little to no tooth decay whatsoever. And then when he compared these primitive cultures to more modernized cities or tribes or villages where they were eating more westernized foods, that's when you start to see the tooth decay increase.
Okay, we have to leave it there. Denise, I want to bring you in before we take the break at the bottom of the hour. You're a city councilor for Ward 11. You've been researching this, and you hear the voices this morning. What is your stand as of this morning, Thursday, January 13th, on the issue of the fact that we continue on a daily basis to put fluoride in the water, the drinking water here in London?
Well, you know, a top researcher who in 1972 recommended that it was mandatory to put fluoride in water came back in 1992 and said that a lot of the information that his researchers had done was falsified, so he recommended that it had to be stopped right away, and that was in 1992, and we're still putting this poison in our water. I'm hoping that with Pam's assistance and by doing some more research to bring this to City Council fairly quickly to have it removed from our water. It is not healthy. It's a poison.
Okay, give me
plain and simple.
Give me the 10-second clip we'll be playing on the news later today. What is the proposal that you plan to bring at the appropriate time to London City Council?
That we cease adding fluoride to our water, and I would like to cease it immediately. It's got to be done.
Denise?
We've got to stop poisoning our children and ourselves.
Denise, I thank you for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
And we'll be talking again, believe me. Wow. That's a pretty impressive stand that she's just taking, Pam.
Oh, listen, we really need city councilors like Denise. We can't thank her enough for the support and her insight and initiative to do research on this subject.
Okay, very quickly, who's the person we're talking to from Calgary on the other side of the news break?
We have Dr. James Beck on the line, and he's the co-author of the book, The Case Against Fluoride. He's been working on the issue in Calgary. I know he's been working tirelessly. I spoke to him last night. He said over the last few weeks, he's just been incredibly busy on the subject, and I know he's very anxious to speak with us.
We'll be talking to Dr. Beck, who's listening. Dr. Beck will be with you in just a moment. We've just got to take a short news break. Back with more on the case against fluoride here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
News Talk 1290 CJBK. The number to call is 519-643-1290.
A comment. I'm in my 80s. And 45 years ago, on CFRB in Toronto, Gordon Sinclair had a what was called Let's Proportional at 10 to 12 every day. That long ago, he was on a tirade about fluoride. He called it rat poison.
What is the proposal that you plan to bring at the appropriate time to London City Council?
that we cease adding fluoride to our water, and I would like to cease it immediately. It's got to be done.
Denise?
We've got to stop poisoning our children and ourselves.
Counselor Denise Brown, just moments ago, making news, I think. It's a very brave stand that she has taken in studio this morning with me. Pam Colleen, who is a friend of this program, and what I love about Pam is she's not afraid to, as I put it, throw hand grenades at our sacred cows. And one of our sacred cows is fluoride in our water. In fact, Pam, I called someone from the health unit this morning, and I asked them where they stand on this. Now, they didn't have someone available this morning because they have apparently it's a busy day and some people are at seminars and so on. But basically, they said, well, we support fluoride in the water. Why would we not? And I'm just staring into the phone going, have you not heard what's happening in Waterloo and Niagara Falls and Hamilton and now in Calgary?
That's right. Well, you know, when we've had a certain belief system for decades now, you know, and all of a sudden new science surfaces to contradict the old science, you know, these people that work in public health or work in dental health, they're very busy people. They don't have time necessarily to catch up to the research. You know, I take the time out of my day to go and look at this information as it surfaces. But, you know, for the majority of the people out there, they just don't have the time.
No. Would you introduce a gentleman who's been waiting patiently on the line from Calgary? We really want to find out what that debate is all about in Calgary. Who's pushing to have fluoride ditched from the water? Go ahead, Pam.
Yes, we have Dr. James Beck on the line, and he's the co-author of The Case Against Fluoride. Dr. Beck, good morning. I know it's early for you out in Calgary.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Beck, you've heard a lot of voices in the last half hour. Are they the kind of voices you've been hearing in Calgary?
Well, in Calgary, as in most places, we hear it from both sides. What it essentially is in Calgary is a sort of a standard and, I must say, mindless approach of the health authorities saying that fluoridation is safe and effective, but they never offer us any evidence for that, and the evidence that proponents usually give us is doesn't stand up to careful examination. What we're trying to do is here in Calgary is get a reconsideration on rational grounds. And my approach to that is to look at fluoridation in the context of three questions. Is it effective in preventing cavities? Is it safe? And is it ethical? Now, in the question of whether it's effective, one of the simplest pieces of evidence is looking at the data gathered by the World Health Organization over the period starting, I believe, from 1962 to 2004, which looks at countries that fluoridate and countries that don't fluoridate, and it shows a dramatic decrease in incidence of cavities. But it's in all those countries. The countries that fluoridate in this respect are no better than the countries that don't fluoridate. And there are several different kinds of studies you can do, in epidemiological studies that look at these. You can compare two studies, two cities, for example, that are one fluoridated and not fluoridated. You can look at a city that has not been fluoridated and then look at it after it starts fluoridation. Or the reverse, you can look at what happens when a city stops fluoridation. And none of these studies that are competently done, and certainly the reports in peer-reviewed journals, show that there is essentially no difference and no benefit from fluoridation with respect to cavities. And sometimes when you see some benefits, it's because the eruption of the teeth has been delayed by fluoridation, by the fluoride in the water, so that the teeth aren't exposed to the real causes of cavities. So that's a sort of a false suggestion of efficacy, but what it really indicates is that the process of building teeth is disrupted by fluoride.
Dr. Beck, let me jump in. So you're making the point that it's not effective. If we're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars across Canada to put fluoride in the water and it's not effective, that is a simple waste of money. And that would be reason to ditch the fluoride by itself. Now we go to the second part of this scenario, which is even worse to me. and that is the harmful effects of putting into our bodies what is, in effect, hazardous waste.
Yes, well, it's more important to me also. The first case is a matter of waste, and that's too bad because better things could be done with that money. But the question of harm is much more significant in the human sense. And the mantra of the proponents is that it does no harm. But in fluoridated countries, there's essentially no research done, at least supported by governments, to investigate the question of does it do harm. And but there's a body of hundreds of papers, reports in peer-reviewed reputable journals that indicate harm to various systems. And the reason you can get so many different effects from fluoride on so many different body systems is because the fluoride ion interacts with enzymes in the human body, which are responsible for how our bodies function. There are thousands of these enzymes, and we know that many of them are poisoned by fluoride.
Okay, now I want to move to the other point you made, and Pam has a question for you in just a moment, but I want to just complete this trio. The ethics of forcing people to take, I guess kindly you'd call it a medication, the ethics of the fact that we have no choice in a city like London, Ontario, whether to drink the water or not. We don't have a choice as to whether we're going to be exposed to this hazardous waste in our drinking water. What are the ethics of that?
Well, the matter of choice is a fundamental component of the medical ethics involved here, because medical ethics would forbid the administration of a drug, and fluoride is recognized by the governments and the courts in both Canada and the United States as a drug being administered for a medical purpose. But medical ethics would forbid the administration of a drug that has not been approved by a qualified body. And that has not occurred either in Canada or the United States.
Dr. Beck, Pam has a question she's been itching to ask you.
Oh, hi, Dr. Beck. Yes. I'm wondering if you could elaborate on the objection put out towards fluoride on behalf of groups like NRC and the EPA.
Yes, I'd like to do that. Let me just make this ethical point, though, because I think it's a very simple argument that you don't need a scientific background or anything to understand. And that is that not only does medical ethics require that it be an approved drug, but it requires that it be dosage is controlled. The dosage is not controlled when you just control what's in the water, because people drink different quantities of water, easily 20-fold differences. And it must be administered with the informed consent of the recipient, which is clearly not the case in fluoridation. Now, Pam asked me about the reports that we've seen from the National Research Council, a report of 2006. That's the National Research Council in the United States. That was a study over a 3-year period by 12 scientists of the problem of setting a safe limit for fluoride in drinking water. And those 12 scientists include some who approved of fluoridation, some who didn't think it was a good idea, and some who didn't have a stated position on it. It's a 507-page report. They looked at 1,100 primary references in the scientific literature, and they have concluded that the level set by the Environmental Protection Agency in the United States is not safe for the protection of health. And that protection of health is a phrase that deserves some examination, because what we do when we put it in the water of a large population is we give it to everybody, and that includes groups, sizable groups that have special sensitivities to the toxic effects of fluoride. For example, elderly people, infants. We have people with kidney disease, people who aren't getting enough iodine in their diet, their thyroid function is compromised, their gastrointestinal effects, cardiovascular effects, and so on. And this is something that seems to be ignored by most of the proponents. These subsets of our populations deserve consideration.
Dr. Beck, I wish we had more time. We're almost out of time, but let me ask you, just to summarize our conversation, the name of your book is called?
The Case Against Fluoride.
Give us your best 30 seconds from the book. What is the case against fluoride?
Well, the case against fluoride is that it is not effective, that it's not safe, and it's not ethical. That is it in a nutshell.
So what do you say to London City Council, who are continuing to support a system in which they dump this poison stuff into our water on a daily basis?
Well, I would say that you have no right to impose this on anyone in any sense, and that you should stop it. If you're not convinced either way that it's good or bad, then you stop it until you find out that it's good. Then you can start it again, and that won't happen.
Dr. Beck, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning. Pam has a parting word for you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. I like the ending statement that you made, because in science, of course, the precautionary principle should be honored, and unfortunately it's not being honored in this case.
Dr. Beck, keep up the good fight. When will we be hearing that Calgary City Council has ditched fluoride?
I hope so. I expect that to happen this year. We'll stop it.
Terrific. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Short break. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. What do you think? Is it time to ditch fluoride in the water in London, Ontario? Back in just a moment with your call, 643-1290. The lines are open here.
A comment. I'm in my 80s. And, 45 years ago, on CFRB in Toronto, Gordon Sinclair had a what was called Let's Be Personal at 10 to 12 every day. That long ago, he was on a tirade about fluoride. He called it rat poison.
What is the proposal that you plan to bring at the appropriate time to London City Council?
That we cease adding fluoride to our water, and I would like to cease it immediately. It's got to be done.
Denise?
We've got to stop poisoning our children and ourselves.
We have promised, and we are promising again here on London Today. Andy Udman, delighted you've joined us this morning, that we're going to get fluoride out of our water. John, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I think it's a little ridiculous that we do have it in our water, seeing as though it's also a byproduct of making aluminum. That's unfortunately where we do get it from.
John, let me ask you this.
Yes.
I thought we had something called the Middlesex London Health Unit, who looked after these matters and made sure that our water is safe and that we weren't putting poison in our water.
Well, it possibly could be true, but they probably overlooked a lot of things. It was actually used back in World War II in the concentration camps to actually dull down the prisoners.
John, what are you saying to City Council about fluoride in our water?
I think it's ridiculous, and that we should get rid of it as soon as possible.
John, thank you for your call. Let's go to Jim. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Andy. How are you doing
today? We're good. We're good.
Good. You know something, as a homeowner and a taxpayer in the City of London, I purposely go out and buy bottled filtered water just to avoid giving that toxin to my children. The other thing I would really love to see is some sort of cancer research to see if it has been on the increase because of they put the stuff in the water in this area.
Pam, let me ask you, is that a fair question?
Oh, absolutely. And there is research to show that there's a link between fluoride and the increased risk of bone cancer, osteosarcoma.
Well, Jim, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that we have fluoride. It's not an essential element in our water. And we can use things like ultraviolet light, ozone, that have been proven to clean the water, and we don't have to add these things like fluoride.
Thomas, what's your message to City Council in London?
Well, do your research, you know, and know that most of the communities in Europe do not use fluoride, and a lot of communities in North America are going towards that direction. So if they're thinking in the terms of safety, you don't put something in that is a lethal agent that can cause all kinds of pathological problems in the body.
Thank you, Thomas. I appreciate it. Angie, thanks for waiting.
That's all right. I'm just wondering, you know, we have established a long time ago that there's no benefit to dumping this fluoride into the water. They thought there was a benefit, and through the research, they've established there isn't a benefit. In fact, there is. It's poison. It's not good for anybody. So where is the problem that they haven't taken it out? And I always kind of look at the money route. Who's benefiting from dumping that still into the water system?
Pam is smiling. She wants to respond to that. Go ahead, Pam.
Well, they can't stockpile the waste product. It would really do a damage to our soil and so on. So essentially, rather than getting fined for stockpiling a waste product like fluoride, they used humans as a waste disposal.
So they use us in our water system to dump it, and it doesn't cost them anything. How much would it cost them to keep it out of the system, to clean it out, and how much would somebody lose? You're paying them $1 million to dump it into our system. So who's benefiting from it financially?
Angie, what's your message to City Council?
Well, get it out of the water. It's poison. It has been established for a long time, so get it out of there. You're drinking it too.
Angie, thanks for your call. Let's go to Bill. Bill, go ahead.
Hi, Angie. Yes, I hope so. If I'm hearing correctly, this fluoride is costing us a lot of money that we likely don't even have a figure on. So my question is to City Council, which I want to out, and I want to applaud Denise Brown for her comments on that, trying to get rid of it. Which is more important, satellites through the LTC or getting rid of that fluoride out of our water system? Mm-hmm. I think getting the fluoride out of our water is a much more important issue than the LTC thing.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call. Okay, we have just a couple of moments left. Pam, we have a little bit of business to do. You have a speaker coming to London. He has a book called The Case Against Fluoride, How Hazardous Waste Ended Up in Our Drinking Water and the Bad Science and Powerful Politics that keep it there. From what you've heard this morning, do you think Denise Brown is going to get anywhere at City Hall?
Oh, I hope so, and I hope she attends that evening with us. We'd love to have her there. This is going to be at the Central Library, Wolf Hall, which seats about 300-plus people. It's a free event. It starts at 6:30, and Dr. Connett will be there doing a book signing as well. As I mentioned earlier, I'll be talking about the real cause and prevention of tooth decay and what nutritionally we need to do in order to protect our teeth. So it's one thing to avoid fluoride, but we need to look at the real cause, or the root cause of dental decay.
What's your message to London City Council?
Well, I'd like to see them spend more time on the issue and really dig into the research. There's a lot of lay people looking at the research and figuring this out. I think it's time for our experts to step forward and truly protect us.